We're going to begin our service tonight with number 412, We Have No Other Plea. Well, my faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. Let's stand, please, as we worship the Lord tonight. Now let's come to the Lord, please, tonight in prayer and just still our hearts as we commit our service to Him. Father, we are thankful again for the evening service on a Lord's Day and for the blessing of filling the day of the Lord full with praises, with thanksgiving, with singing, reading the Scripture. And Lord, we pray that our hearts will be full and be fed. Through the Scripture, we will learn more of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, at the commencement of our time tonight, we are again very conscious, Lord, of our need of the Holy Spirit's direction and help, and that we cannot offer the praises of our heart and the worship that is due unto Your name with our own very limited resources. Lord, we need to be endued with that power from on high. And that means every single one of us. That, Lord, the other things that would sometimes, maybe too many times, intrude into a sacred service, Lord, they would be shut out. And we would be closed in now, Lord, with Yourself. And that we would be able to receive the full blessing of this time we are together. And dear Lord, we are so distracted easily by things within this world. But we know, Lord, that as we desire to be here, we desire, Lord, to worship Your holy name. We desire to be fed from the Scriptures. And therefore, all of these things we are praying, that we might be given that strength from the Spirit of God, that the Lord Jesus would be made known to us from the Scripture in a more detailed manner. We would pray as the apostle did, "Oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." Lord, give us understanding to what all that means, and may it be fulfilled in our lives. We desire, Lord, to be faithful servants. We want to be a congregation useful in your kingdom. We do not believe that we are here by accident. We don't believe this is by chance, Lord. No, we accept that we have come to the kingdom. We have come to this country and this city and land for such a time as this. And Lord, believing that in our heart because we trust in a sovereign God, you know the end from the beginning, and all things are working together for good to them that love God. And therefore we rest tonight with an assurance and certainty that we have a life to live on purpose for our God. And therefore, Lord, show us, and may we know very clearly that each day of our life we'll not just live in a haphazard way, we'll not just put in the time. Rather, Lord, we will see our time invested in the cause of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we will be useful for the extension of that kingdom. We pray it, Lord, as you have placed us here in Malvern, in the city of Toronto. We pray for our community. We're asking, Lord, that your fear would descend upon this place. We pray that those who are bent and twisted in evil directions, that they would be arrested and they would be coming under conviction of sin. Even, Lord, we would pray a crippling conviction of sin, whereby they would cry out, "Lord, what must I do to be saved?" And for that end, Lord, we pray that this congregation, this church, will be used as a lighthouse, be used as a place where people will know, they will sense in the community, here's a people that are serious about the things of God, a people who are determined to go on with the Lord, a people who want to be used in the kingdom of Christ in extending the gospel message. Lord, we know that that commission given by our Savior those many years ago, it was not just for the disciples or apostles. It wasn't just for the New Testament church. But we, Lord, believe it is for us today, and it will be until the end of time, until Christ comes back again. And therefore, let us take that commission to our heart, and let us be soul winners for the Savior. Use this place. Use the preaching of the gospel. Use the electronic sign at the front as people will see the Scripture. Use the outreach that we do into the community. But Lord, most of all, use us as individuals in our workplace, in our community, among our neighbors and friends, family members. And Father, we pray that as souls are converted, that they will join with us here, that they might be discipled and built up in their most holy faith. Thankful, Lord, for the visitors that have been coming in recently, and we pray that they will know and have a hunger for the things of Christ. They will know that the Lord's word is preached here. And dear Father, we ask that as our families would know household salvation, so our congregation would know that household salvation, that everyone who comes in here would be under the conviction of the gospel and they would come through for the Savior. Bless our boys and girls in our Sunday school classes. We pray that as the word is planted in their hearts at a very young age, that it will germinate and bring forth life eternal. We pray for our young people, our young adults, that as they hear the word, they would mix it with faith in their own hearts, and they would determine to go on with God. They would determine that their life would make a difference in this time, and they would not just be absorbed into the world, but their life would stand out as an emblem, as a lighthouse, that we'd all be salt and light in our day. Bless every family in our fellowship. Remember not only, Lord, our own church here. We think of all our sister congregations locally here in our province, across the provinces of Canada. And we think, Lord, too, of other faithful congregations who are desiring to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless them. Encourage their hearts. And may the gospel go out with great soundness and across our nation, Lord. We pray for souls to be saved. We pray for an awakening. We ask, Lord, that every faithful follower of Christ would know that reviving of heart and soul. Make us be on fire for God in these last of the last days. We pray for our government. We ask for our political leaders. Father, we pray for their salvation. They need to be saved. And we pray that you would break through into their hearts and change them. And Lord, in the meantime, that they would be kept from their foolish and sinful ways, and they would be stopped from putting evil agenda forward in our nation. Lord, have mercy upon us, we pray, in this day and in our time. Lord, hear our prayer tonight. Remember those who are sick with us, not well, who have such situations in their lives that are difficult, far-reaching health matters. Lord, we pray your hand upon them and bless them tonight. Remember the elderly, those who can't be out as they used to be on a regular occasion, but Lord, they can't tonight. Bless them where they are. Remember our senior work. We think of the work in Cedarbrook, and we pray for those involved in that ministry. Bless that and be expanded. We think of the work in the Garden Terrace. Lord, bless that senior's work as well. So hear our prayer tonight. Encourage our hearts. Bless us as we continue in our worship. For we pray, Lord, all these things tonight in Jesus' holy, precious name. Amen. We'll continue in our praise with number 578, Jesus and Shall It Ever Be, A Mortal Man Ashamed of Thee. Let's stand, please, to sing. Let's turn, please, tonight for our scripture reading, the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. The first 11 verses. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Well, as the apostle was ministering to the Corinthian church, and he was challenging them and encouraging them that we are very temporal here in our earthly bodies. We have 70 years, maybe, to live. And as Job spoke in his book, there are many troubles that will go along with that time period as we go through our life. But Paul said, we desire to be unclothed of this mortal flesh, so that we might be clothed with immortality. He was saying that we have a job to do here, but in the midst of life with all of its issues and trials and disappointments, we look forward to heaven. We look forward to home. We look forward to that place which is eternal, from which once we arrive on those shores, we will never be removed from them again. And that is our hope. But he also adds in that very important marker that through the journey of this life, we cannot forget we are walking by faith. We are temporal. We are here with our feet on soil, on solid ground. But yet we are going to our eternal reward. But in the meantime, we have to be careful that we don't lose sight of what God has done for us, what Christ has done for us, and the hope that we have always set before us. We've been thinking about that the last few Lord's days specifically, about the hope that the Christian has because Christ is alive today. And that hope that we have is something that we can bank on. That's a phrase we use. It's something that is secure. It's real. It goes beyond anything in this life. And so let's dwell much upon that, especially in the days in which we are, because of the many things that would discourage us and cast us down or cast aside. We can rejoice that we are going home to glory soon, to see that city bright We will abide there forever and forever with our Lord. Welcome to our service tonight. We are glad that you are here in person. And those folks viewing our service online tonight, we want to encourage you and pray the Lord would bless you as you've come to be with us again tonight. As we open the scriptures, that there might be handfuls in purpose for us. There might be blessing upon blessing from the Lord's word. Remember, please, our services and ministry going on in this week. Tomorrow is a finance committee meeting at 5 p.m. And then on Wednesday evening, our weekly Bible study and prayer time. And I hope to continue in our study of the prayers and responses of Moses. And I trust it will be a primer for us, leading us into prayer. Our Wednesday prayer meeting is a very important service in the week of our, in the life of our congregation. And so we want to be about the Master's business in pressing forward and earnestly in prayer for all of the ministries that God has called us to. We want to be very much on track and on fire for Him. Thursday evening, our session and board will have our monthly meeting. And the next Lord's Day at 9:45, our Sunday school, and at 11 and 6:30. Next Lord's Day after the evening service, we'll take some time at the end for the singing of special hymns in worship. Those are all the ministry that announcements we have. We'll sing again, please, to the Lord's praise, number 596, Faith is the Victory That Overcomes the World. Remain seated while we sing the first three verses, and then we will stand for the fourth one. Just before you stand on this one, we'll have the instruments play as we watch the words of verse 4, and then we will stand to sing. you're singing well tonight in our worship of the Lord. I ask you to turn in your Bibles now to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, at the opening verse, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ Jesus, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. We'll conclude our reading there tonight. I want us to think specifically on the words of verse 23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. We'll bow, please, and ask the Lord to help us tonight in our time. Father, we rejoice this evening again. It is a great privilege. It is our joy that we can gather with others who love the Lord Jesus, those of like precious faith. And dear Father, as we have joined tonight, and we just have the Scriptures opened, and we have prayed, Lord, for illumination, for the Holy Spirit to give us light and to reveal our Savior to us in some further detail, some more light. Bless us now. I pray, Lord, that you would help me to speak as the Lord's messenger in the word of truth. Hear our prayer. And Lord, as we ask these things, we are mindful that some might be out of Jesus. They're not saved. Might be online listening tonight, maybe tuned in by accident, as they would think. But Lord, we know there are no accidents. Let this word be a word suited and fitted to lead souls to Christ. Hear our prayer tonight. Be with us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There are certain endurance sports. It could be cycling. It could be long distance running, or maybe some other type of endurance sport. And there is a phrase or a term that is called hitting the wall. Now, it doesn't mean technically or physically bouncing off a brick or a concrete wall, but it is a phrase that is used when sudden fatigue and loss of energy comes because of total physical exhaustion. Now, there are things that happen in the metabolism, things that happen within the body of someone that brings that about more right on the urgency of the time, but that hitting of the wall can take place. I don't know that I've ever really experienced that because I've not been involved in long-distance running or long-distance endurance sports like that. If you have, then perhaps you know exactly what this is like. But for the Christian, we think of it this way. We are running in a race. We are in a race that is really an endurance race. And we can also come to the place where we feel we have hit the wall and we can't go on. We've run out of steam. We've run out of energy. We've run out of power. We just can't go on anymore. And sometimes we would feel, as the marathon runner might feel, I've just got to pull off to the sidelines. I've just got to stop. I can't go forward. That person who's pedaling their bicycle, their legs become so much like rubber that they can't pedal anymore. They have to pull over and quit. Maybe as a Christian, there's some way in which you have felt like that in your life. Maybe you've come to the point where you can't go on anymore. What does it all mean? Well, friends, sometimes we think if it's easy to quit, no, we have to say no, we cannot do that. Because he that endureth to the end shall be saved, the Lord told us. It teaches us that we must press on. We must go forward. We must continue. This would be easier said than done. We know that. And if we are left to ourselves, if we are left to try to do this on our own, I would say we would have quit a long time ago. But our Christian race and that we are running, it's not by our own strength. It is by the strength of the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And the power that has been given to us, as Christ promised, the Comforter will come and be your portion. And it doesn't mean that it won't be any always easy in the running. By the grace of God, there we would stop like maybe others have quit in the physical race. But we say before the Lord, no, we cannot stop, Lord. And I say to you tonight in the challenge of the Word of God, no, Christian, you cannot quit. You cannot stop. We cannot throw in the towel, even though times are very hard. And maybe you feel deep down you cannot go on another inch. What are we to do in a case like that? Well, we bring our burden to the Lord. We bring our sense of quitting to the Lord. We bring our weakness, and we want to say, Lord, we need to know the perseverance of the saints. That is a great doctrine. The perseverance of the saints. The truth that whom the Lord has chosen, whom God has saved by His sovereign grace, He will bring to the end, and not one will be left behind. Let us pray that we will be empowered, that we will be encouraged and strengthened to go on, even though the days are dark, and even though the times are tough. We have examples that are given to us in the Word, and of course, examples around us that we know that will help us and show us the way. In the Scripture, I think about the example of Abel right at the very beginning. He shows us an example of the obedience of faith. And in his obedience of faith, he served the Lord. And for that faithful service, what did he receive? Well, he received a martyr's death. The wickedness of his own brother rose up and slew him. Abel comes to us as a righteous man. He comes to us as a holy man who was walking obediently before his God. And he did everything that God commanded him to do. And believers, sometimes we might feel that when we have followed the Lord every step of the way, operating obediently, we wonder, well, why has this trial come upon my life? When these things happen to us, let's come back and simply look at some of those examples of faith that are given. Abel, an obedient man, obedient to the faith right to the end of his life. And God was with him. And today, this man wears a martyr's crown. And he comes to us as a great example in Hebrews chapter 11. For his blood, it speaks from the ground. And yet, we know there is one whose blood speaks better things even than that of Abel. I think of Abraham. Abraham is a picture for us of the strength of faith and the resolve of faith. Because when he was brought to the greatest challenge of his life, of sacrificing his only son, the son of the promise, Isaac, and as he was brought to Mount Moriah to sacrifice his son, he was resolved by faith that I will follow through in the command of God even to bring my own son's life to an end. And how could Abraham do such a thing? Because we are told by the Apostle Paul that Abraham believed that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. That was a man of faith. That was a man who had strength of faith. It's a man who we would do well to pray, Lord, grant me a double portion of Abraham's faith. For he trusted his Lord, and he walked very close with his God. Now, I'm not saying by any stretch that that was an easy day for Abraham. That was perhaps the hardest day that man had ever lived. But he trusted in his God. And that trial that the Lord stopped him from following right through with, God knew what Abraham would do. But did Abraham fully know what Abraham would do? That's the whole point of the trial, you know. That's the whole point in our life. When God brings something upon us that we would recoil from and run from, the Lord brings us down the steps of those testing times. Will we continue in the faith? Will we persevere in obedience? Will we stand faithful and true in the strength that the Lord grants and gives to us in those trying times? How about a man called Caleb? He was associated, we know, with Joshua in the possession of the land of Canaan. Caleb was a man, one of those two spies, and he proclaimed that God is able to give us the victory as we would go in and possess the land. Never mind the iron chariots. What are they in the hand of a sovereign God? Never mind the size of the giants of the land. That doesn't mean anything. God is bigger and greater and more able. And Joshua and Caleb are those two men who strongly said to all the people, no, let us go forward in obedience to him. But the 10 spies brought an evil report. And that evil report they brought, it carried some weight to discourage the people. And it carried enough weight by God's providence. He was not taken by surprise. But in the book of Hebrews, we are admonished, beware that there is not the same heart of unbelief in us as there was in them in those days. We want to be challenged by the word, brothers and sisters. And we need to be challenged that we will take seriously the admonitions given to us, because if we're going to run our race, if we're not going to collapse when we hit the wall, we're only going to be able to do that by the power of God within us and by a walk of obedience, by a walk that is strong as the faith of Abraham was, and as Caleb, one who was persevering in his faith. You know, Caleb never gave up. He didn't quit. And even in the senior years of his life, he went forward and he said, the Lord has given me the strength as he did 40 years ago. And I am as strong today to go in to possess the land. Therefore, give me my possession. Perseverance of faith. Sometimes when the years pass by, we can become a little bit weary and tired, maybe in old age a bit lazy. We want to be guarding against that and pray that the Lord would give to us a perseverance of faith as a Caleb had, so that we will not become weary in well-doing. We'll not become those who get to the end and we just barely cross the finish line, but we're totally exhausted and we're really done. No, we don't want to be like that. I want to pray that the Lord will give us that perseverance of faith to keep going and cross the finish line in victory. Not in shame. Not with a testimony that has been marred and thrown into the gutter. No, friends. We want to be, as Caleb had, a man persevering in his faith. And then we could draw another example and think about Elijah. For he was a man who was a man of prayer. He had his troubles, but he was a man of prayer, praying in faith. He saw the Lord do great things in his life. We want to know the Lord's power in our life through prayer as well. And so these individuals we have just commented on, and others in life that you know in this very congregation, for you will look across and know the testimony of one another, and you will say, yes, that person knows the Lord. That person is as a man, a woman of prayer. Their life is an example of prayer. And so you don't always look off to the distance or the past and think, well, where am I going to find these examples? No, they're right in front of you. They're right with us in the very congregation of the Lord. We want to continue in our faith by the grace of God, because the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and do exploits. The only way we will know the Lord better and become stronger to do those exploits, well, it's going to be to take the tool that God has given to us and utilize the great tool of His Word, that we will grow spiritually strong. That we will take that Word to our heart. That we will study and memorize and commit it to our heart. That we will have our minds cleansed and purified through the teaching and thinking of the Scripture. Enough of the influence of the world comes to us. We know it day by day. And we must be countering that continually by allowing the Scripture to be influencing the way we think, the way we process information, the way we are operating in our day-to-day life. If the Word of God is our daily habit, if we are reading it and thinking about it, and endeavoring to memorize its truth, and praying for the Spirit of God to apply that to our life, then we will be able to grow in the grace of the Lord and be strong, in order that we will continue in the faith that has been set before us. Verse 23 of Colossians 1 is really a coming to a conclusion of all that the apostle has been encouraging them of their standing in Christ, of the fact they have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. They have their home in heaven in glory. They have so much that they can be strong in. And he said, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled. The first thought that we leave with you tonight is this. If we are going to continue in the faith, it will be evidenced in our lives by stability. Stable Christians. What does he say here? He said, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Grounded and settled in the faith. In verse 4 of chapter 1, Paul commended the Colossian Christians for their faith. So he's talking about the entire congregation or church there in Colossae, and their testimony had reverberated far, and Paul was thankful about that, and he commended them for it, and he spoke about their faith as a church. But of course, he was talking to them as individuals, because the church is made up of people. And so the faith of the church in Colossae, it was populated by individual Christians who knew Christ and who were known of people of faith. And so their faith, the faith of the church, but the faith of them as individuals, was strong, and it was bearing a good testimony. And when he speaks now in verse 23, he said, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, what's he talking about? Well, the use of the phrase and the term, the faith, it is one little phrase or word that is put for the whole picture. And the whole picture is the entire definition of the gospel itself and all that it represents. Of course, it represents us being born again by the Spirit of God. It represents the fact that we have been cleansed from our sin, we've been forgiven, that we know we possess the Lord Jesus in our hearts, we love God, the Holy Spirit abides within us, we are bearing witness through the Spirit's power, and it will be seen in the way we live our life. It will be seen in how we honor God, desiring to keep His word, and how we also behave one toward another. Do we love our neighbors? Do we love one another in this fellowship? Do we have the back of each other, protecting and encouraging and helping? Yes, all of those things are part of the definition of our faith. We declare the righteousness of God, and we are pleading with all men everywhere to repent. So we are giving out the gospel message. And yet when we think about the words, the faith, it gives us all of that in one package. It gives us all of those things together. It's talking about what justifying grace means. That we have been declared righteous by a holy God through the merit and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to our account. We're thinking about the fact that we are in the process of being sanctified by the grace of God and the application of the work of Christ in our life day by day. So we are justified. That's an act that God has done. We are being sanctified. It's also by the work of God's grace, but that's being the process each day in our life. All of these things, my friends, are true and right as they are found in the larger definition of what the gospel is and indeed what the faith is. And so Paul is saying to the people, if you're going to continue in the faith, it's going to be evidenced by your Christian stability. It means you're consistent. It means you're well and firmly grounded and settled. And where are you grounded? Well, of course, you're grounded in Christ Jesus. You know Him. You belong to Him. And you are grounded in the doctrine of the Word of God. You see, a doctrineless Christianity is that which has no frame, no support, no strength. It's like having a body without a skeleton. And what would that look like? Well, it would have no frame. We could not stand up. It would just be a load of jelly, in one sense, flesh and blood and sinew with no bones. And so our Christianity has to have doctrine, which is the skeleton, which allows us to stand. And we know that the gospel and the faith that defines the gospel is a gospel that is based firmly on the solid doctrines of the Word of God. Do you know, believer, your doctrine? Do you know the teaching of the Scripture? Well, how will you do that? Well, you will certainly do and know that the more you entrench yourself in the Word, in the Scripture, and as we are praying for its truth to be put into our minds and hearts and lives. But you also must take time to read and to read good theological, doctrinal books. Sometimes people get a bit concerned when you think about that, because, well, how will I ever understand that? Well, friends, there are varying levels that God has given the ability to His servants to write doctrinal things that are very simple and straightforward. And yes, there are the larger encyclopedias, there are larger volumes that go into the depth and details of doctrine, and that's good to get your teeth into the meat of that. But there is a starting point, I would say, and challenge the younger Christians and believers, get into the doctrine of the Word of God and start at the introductory level. Because the more that you feed your mind and feed your heart on good, solid biblical doctrine, you will be strengthened, and you will, in one sense, you will put a frame to your Christianity. And putting a skeleton to your Christianity, the bones will become stronger and stronger and stronger. We are called to continue in our faith, being grounded and settled. And that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, that's verse 27 of Colossians 1, to whom God would make known what is the riches of His glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do people see that in us, in our lives? Is the Lord Jesus known in us? Is He known that He is glorified through our thinking and our actions and our wills and our behavior? It's a good place to start, believer, and to be asking ourselves that question. Verse 13 of chapter 1 speaks of the deliverance from the power of darkness and being translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. The word translated, it simply means to be placed into. So at one time, we were in the devil's kingdom and power in our unsaved days, when we were in the full grip of our depravity. But when sovereign grace took hold of our life and God enlivened us by the Spirit of God and took us out of our depravity and our sin, and by faith we have been placed into the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we've left the kingdom of darkness and we were placed into the kingdom of light. What a day of rejoicing that was. It was the day of our salvation. It was the day of our eternal hope beginning. And in verse 14, we are told there we have redemption through His blood, and we have the forgiveness of sins. If you didn't possess anything else in this life, if you didn't possess anything else, but you possessed redemption and you possessed forgiveness of our sins, then we would be rich beyond description. And every believer here tonight is wealthy, spiritually wealthy beyond description. It means that we have a standing in Christ that cannot be taken away. And so, as we are continuing in our faith, we are grounded, we are rooted in the gospel and rooted in Christ. And we have this knowledge. It means, friend, tonight that we have a hope that is tremendous, a hope that is amazing. The Apostle Paul had such assurance. He would say, "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." But there are some that will stand before God, and they will say to Him at that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not done this in Your name? Have we not done that?" Even, as it would appear, miraculous things. The Lord will say to such that day, "Depart from me, I never knew you. Oh, friend, I trust that that would not be a statement that would be made to anyone here in this church or anyone listening to this message online tonight. Oh, it's important for us all to make investigation. The Lord tells us that we are to do that investigation to make our calling and our election sure. Be sure you're saved tonight. Be sure you know you're in Christ. Be sure you know that Christ is dwelling in your hearts by faith and that you are rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. And when you know that, then you know that you are firmly grounded and you are settled and you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and you make your calling and your election sure. It's good to dig about our spiritual foundation and about our faith. And you can ask yourself a simple question or two. Do I love the Lord Jesus in my heart? And you're not answering this question to prove something to someone else. You're just answering it between yourself and the Lord. Do I love the Lord Jesus Christ? And in the quietness of your mind, when you answer that question in the affirmative, you would say perhaps like Peter did, maybe even in weakness, Lord, yes, I love you. Maybe the Lord would ask you the question again a second time. Do you really love me? Oh, yes, Lord, I love you. Are you sure you love me? Well, now you're beginning to wonder. Maybe I don't, or wonder if I do. Ah, but let's speak out the word, let Peter, Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you. And that's a very good place and a question to ask. Do I believe that Christ died to take away my sin on the cross? And it's only faith that's residing in your heart that will be able to answer that in the positive, in the affirmative. Yes, I believe that Christ died bearing my sins. And have I repented of my sin? And have I asked Him to be in my heart? Those are simple questions. But when you ask them and you answer them honestly before the Lord, then, friend, you can have that certainty and that evidence will be sure. Well, think about this in the second thought tonight. Being confident that we are continuing in our faith, it'll be evidenced by standing firm and not being moved away from the hope of the gospel. Come back to Colossians 1:23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. We want to be sure that we are not influenced to too much a degree by others around us, and that we will be sure that we are grounded and settled, and that we are not moved away from what the gospel really is. We do not want to compromise the word of truth. We do not want to be blown off our foundation. We want to know that we are settled firmly, that we believe what we believe based upon the Scripture, and that we are standing firmly for the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to use as an excuse the fact that, well, we might offend someone if we acknowledge where we are standing in the truth of the gospel. We don't want to think to this degree that they will assume that we don't love them if they're offended by what we say or what we preach. We'd rather, friends, be greater concerned that we would offend the Lord by compromising His truth than offending someone else if we declare what we believe. The apostle said, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" It is far better for us to tell the truth of God and to stand firmly on the Scripture four square and have someone wonder, are we a little bit unloving? Because if we speak the truth in love, we will honor the Lord ultimately, and the Lord will honor our testimony. He will honor our stand for Him. Don't be misunderstood. Sometimes personalities may be strong. Sometimes behavior of other people or idiosyncrasies of other believers might come into it, and we might have differences of opinion on certain doctrinal points or distinctive points. That's a possibility. But let's be careful, brothers and sisters, that we are looking at the Scripture first and foremost to be our guide and to be that which guards our thinking as we step forward and bear a witness for the Lord. We want to stand firm for His truth. True love will be demonstrated before God by obedience to His Word first and foremost. Do you remember what Samuel said to Saul? He said, "To obey is better than to sacrifice." And the idea behind all that was Saul, the king, had stepped over his boundary. And he had stepped over his boundary and he made himself a priest to offer a sacrifice. He took the place of Samuel and he had no right to do that. And he reasoned in his mind, well, Samuel has delayed his coming. He's not there. And so I will just take it upon myself to do what he had no authority to do. And so that phrase, or that coin phrase that we have heard before, to obey is better than to sacrifice, that's the very word that Samuel brought back to Saul. Saul, you should have listened. You should have obeyed the Lord's word, but you didn't. And it's better for us believers, as we draw a conclusion from that, we want to, in our Christian testimony in life, as a congregation, as individuals, we want to say as we stand before God, Father, I want to follow Your word. I want to follow the Scriptures to the very best of my ability. I want to follow as we join together in this day of bearing a testimony before other believers. We don't want to be cantankerous. We don't want to be objectionable just for the sake of it. But we do want to be careful that we are speaking the truth in love, but we are speaking the truth. And that's so important in our time. We are called not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. And there is a principle that the Lord sets forward in His world, a principle of separation for the believer's life, for all of us individually, not to love the world and the flesh and the devil. We are careful about that. And we must beware that in a congregation, in our church fellowship, in our denomination, that we do that which is right to honor and lift up our Lord Jesus the very best that we can. We're called to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and that means putting on the whole armor of God. Paul said that we were called to war a good warfare. We were to fight the good fight of faith. And the apostle also said that we are set for the defense of the gospel, warning every man. So friends, if we're going to continue in the faith, remember it's the faith of the entire gospel. We want to continue in that grounded and settled, and we want to see this faith growing out from us. We would not be moved away from the solid and secure foundation. The Apostle Jude encouraged his people to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And so we want to stand firm in the doctrine of Scripture. Mr. Spurgeon made this comment. He spoke about Christians who were never settled. He referred to them as trees transplanted every week. They would soon die. How many Christians are transplanting themselves constantly, even regarding their doctrinal sentiments? They're unstable, and like the weathercock at the top of a steeple, they turn whichever way the wind blows. We don't want to be like that. We want the Lord to cause us to be strong in Him. So as we bring our message tonight to a conclusion, how will we stand firm and continue in the faith? How is this going to be done? Well, it's going to be done by feeding on Christ and His Word. It's going to be done by being under the regular preaching of the Word of God. It's going to be done by joining in fellowship with one another in the house of prayer consistently, because we're called not to forsake the fellowshipping of ourselves together. It's going to be by praying for our hearts and our wills to be conformed to Christ. There's a cost for standing firm, you know. The Bible has a number of examples of those who paid that price. Micaiah was a very faithful servant of God, and he ended up in prison. Jeremiah faithfully spoke the word of God, and he ended up in prison, and it was not well for him. And what about the Apostle Paul? He was maligned, he was beaten, he suffered greatly. And it's believed at the end, though the Bible does not record this, it is believed that he ended in a martyr's death. We're called to suffer persecution, and all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will do that. In Acts chapter 14, verse 22, it says, the apostles confirmed the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. So, continuing in the faith, it will bring, by God's grace, everlasting rewards. And when we see our Savior, we will trust to hear those words from Him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let's bow, please, in prayer. Friends, as we bow our heads and our hearts, it may well be that you have not come to the Lord tonight in your own heart. And I would say right where you are, you can simply pray, confess your sin, and say, "Lord Jesus, save my soul," and that your prayer the Lord has promised to hear, and He will save. And maybe, believer, you'd have to admit that you've not been walking close to the Lord. Well, now is a time to put that right and just utter that simple prayer, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation," and help us all in our prayer that we will continue in the faith, being settled and grounded. Father, hear our prayer tonight. We're thankful for the clarity of the Word. And I pray it will be written on our hearts tonight. And you would help us all, Lord, because left to ourselves, we are so weak, we wouldn't last a moment. We know, Lord, that we have the assurance and the Scripture and the Word and the promise that we will be strengthened with might in the inner man. So strengthen each one of us. Help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. Help us to grow day by day. And Lord, use us in your kingdom and in your work. Well, separate us now, Father, in your fear with your rich and mighty blessing. We pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.